500 years before the birth of Jesus, an old man sat alone in the Chaldean desert, listening for a silent word to come on the wind to him, that he might share it with God's people. His name was Isaiah. He was a prophet. His crusty face was rugous hide, tanned by decades of a desert tonic of wind and sand and sun. He would find an auger's stump rising from the fertile loam of the Euphrates to speak a new word of hope and deliverance to his people, whose Babylonian exile was coming to an end. "Comfort, comfort, my people," says your God. "Prepare the way, make straight a path in the desert for our God, and see that the glory of God shall be revealed." Familiar words to us in this season of Advent, comforting words, hopeful words with a lilt that tweaks our hearts. Isaiah was speaking to those beleaguered by ruin and destruction, beset by the loss of the familiar. But comfort is not just balm for the weary, not just an easing of the strident suffering. It intends an invitation to be comforted, yes, but in that to be strengthened. Comfort is to be fortified with others. Comfort, a resilience for a journey, yes, for a new beginning in which God is the source of the strength for us to make our way. The words come to us once more in Advent as we make our new beginnings, as we listen for a new word to come on the wind to us, that we might prepare a way for a new dawn to break into our lives in this moment. Can we hear it as a call to trust that God is up to something even here and now? You know, some ecclesiologists have traced a pattern across our religious history that every 500 years or so, there is a major disruption leading to reformation and new life. These disruptions are never easy. They're never fully understood in the moment. But in time, over time, it becomes clear in the air of new birth, birth into something new, a new aliveness as a gift from God for the people of God. Certainly Isaiah spoke his words into one such era, 500 years before Christ, when the restoration of Israel and the return from exile unfolded over time, the second Exodus as it was known, when the temple in Jerusalem would be rebuilt and an entirely new and revitalized religious tradition rose from the ruins of the first temple. 500 years later, another desert prophet, whom we know as John the Baptist, cried in the wilderness, and Jesus joined him in a nonviolent revolution, baptizing and promoting a renewed relationship with God, dusting off layers of stale and usurious practices that had accrued to disfigure the face of the religion of their experience. These two, John and Jesus, and the ones who followed them, found a new way centered in the margins. And the revolution laid down roots that swept across an empire, speaking love to corruption, liberty to the downtrodden, and a life-giving message of hope for all. The late late Phyllis Trickle traced this circadian rhythm of religious upheaval every 500 years in a provocative little book she entitled The Great Emergence. She said, "We're in the midst of just another such great emergence, unfolding to something new we cannot yet fully understand or see. It can be exciting and scary to live in such a time." There were other times too, 5 centuries after Jesus, as the Roman Empire crumbled under its gluttonous weight, the Christian monastic movement took root and flourished through the Dark Ages, as we call them now. We are the inheritors of that monastic tradition. We are Christians today because of those progenitors. 500 years hence, in the 11th century, a major schism separated Eastern from Western Christianity and the 4 divisions that last to this day. And then the 16th century saw the great reformations sweep across Europe, catalyzing a resurgence of faith and a purging of morally bankrupt religious practices. But understand that none of these eras of remarkable change are pristine. And we should take great care not to define the results in some good and bad binary. Not all was bad before, and not all that developed was good. But the invitation for us in this momentous time is to consider whether in it all the human institution of the church can discover in the new developments the fingerprints of God, marked by signs of spiritual renewal, restoration to the ground of our being, and a newfound aliveness in the church and in its members that informs the whole of life. In this current era, the proposition is here for us to consider that we are in the midst of a major, major religious upheaval, presumably heralded by the decline of Christendom, that imperial and social standard of Western civilization in recent decades. Let me say to you this morning that I believe the demise of Christendom as that imperial standard is by and large a good thing, affording us an opportunity to be strengthened, comforted by the revolutionary gospel of Jesus Christ without some crusty overlay of social expectation as the primary impulse that gets us to church, but then clouds the message once we're there. Folks, we can let that old narrative die now. Isn't it liberating to know that you can do in these days what you want to do? And yet, I believe you're here because there is something to all of this, this Christian way and life that speaks a fresh word to us, that draws us into the orbit of a cosmic Christ, bringing fresh good news to a broken, hurting world, bringing it to you and me in these tough times. The church exists for times such as this. Much has been written and said this year about the importance of resilience. Resilience, that spirited capacity to rise above the challenge, to sustain through it, to persevere and become even stronger in light of it. Resilience. But none of that diminishes the very real lived experience of loss and loneliness and stress and uncertainty that has beset us this year especially. To be clear, this Christian story makes no sense without the shadowy haunts of the cross and the suffering and silenced Christ hung upon it. But if Advent offers us anything, my friends, it is a fresh new word of hope, of anticipation that there still are words to be spoken on the winds of our time and our place, and in our place of exile from the familiar. Words that call us to prepare a way for God to come among us. Words that comfort and strengthen us to engage our God and to trust that God is indeed up to something here and now, working in us and in the church greater things than we could ever ask for or imagine. So get ready, friends. Prepare yourselves. The prophet is speaking his words of hope and deliverance to us today. God is stirring among us, inviting us into the new dawn. So look to the horizon. Feel the wind on your face. Know that you are part of a new thing taking shape. And take comfort in that. And rejoice.